This message is one of the Times Square Church Pulpit Series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lindale, Texas, 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. None of these messages are copyrighted, and you are welcome to make copies for free distribution to friends.
I want you to go to John, the third chapter, please. John 3. My message today, living under the wrath of God. Go to third chapter of John. I'm going to read one verse, verse 36, please. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In fact, if you have a King James, will you read this verse out loud with me, please, in the annex and wherever you are. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want you to know that I didn't invent that phrase. You heard it and read it from the Word. Heavenly Father, I don't know who came to this church today, moved on by your Holy Spirit. Perhaps I hadn't planned to come. I don't know who came having been visited or invited by a friend. You know who just drifted in here, maybe a tourist or more. Know who is here, Lord. I didn't plan this service. You planned it. You are in control of all things. You have divine authority. You're the one who brought this congregation together. You're the one who laid this message on my heart. You instructed me to go to this very verse and preach about it this morning. So, Lord, my job is simply to obey you. That's all I'm to do, to obey what you put on my heart. I ask you to give me mercy and grace to preach this in mercy and grace, to preach it in the love that you've intended it to be preached. And Lord, soften my heart as I minister a hard word. Lord, speak to those that are in this church this morning within the sound of my voice, who are not right with you, Jesus, who have turned their back on you, who have rejected you. And I pray for those who have never, ever fully surrendered their heart and come to the light. Oh, God, open their eyes and their understanding. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Let the word go forth freely and let it flow abundantly from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, for months and months I've stood in this pulpit and I've preached grace. I've preached mercy and I've preached primarily to the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. When I was evangelist, I preached primarily to sinners. But the Holy Spirit has prompted me to preach perhaps a series to those who are lost, those who have not come to the light of Jesus Christ. You are not born again. You are not a true believer. And here in the third chapter of John, Jesus is talking to a ruler of the Jews called Nicodemus. Nicodemus has come to him asking a question. And Jesus is explaining to him how to be born again. And he explains it very clearly. You have to be born of water. In other words, you have to be born of a human mother through the bag of water through which a child comes. And that's flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. He said, but you have to be born again in the Spirit also. And what is flesh, and what is spirit. And this ruler, Nicodemus, says, how can these things be? How can you go back into your mother's womb? And Jesus answered, said, you are a master or a teacher in Israel, and you don't know these things? Jesus was dumbfounded by him. He's an intelligent man, a man who is taught in the law and the scriptures. And he says, you can't understand this very simple thing? Folks, have you ever been bewildered when you try to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in its simplicity to somebody, a friend or relative? You explain the plan of salvation. You talk about the simple thing of Christ going to the cross, dying for sin, bearing your sins, and loving you enough to take all your sins upon you and confess. Very simple gospel, and they look at you dumbfounded. They say, I don't get it. We have people that are here this morning, just like we have in service, every service. There'll be people coming here from all over the world. And some of you walked in here this morning. And there are people who have not come to the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, they've heard the gospel, they know, but they've never come to the light. And others that walk in here, they may be Jewish. They may be people who have not even attended church, and some who don't know really much about Christ. But they hear the singing, they hear the choir, and they hear a simple message. There's nothing complicated about what we preach here, especially when we preach as we're preaching this morning on salvation. Nothing complicated about it at all. But they walk out. If you get to have a conversation with them, it goes something like this. Well, look, I really enjoyed it. He said, all these people, they seem so happy. I love to sing. I love the choir. And interesting preaching, but I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand. How many of you have relatives like that? I mean, you have explained it simple. The Bible said it's so simple a child can understand it. There is nothing complicated about the gospel whatsoever. And I'm amazed as I hear backsliders even saying, the Christian walk was just too difficult for me. So many difficult teachings. I just didn't know how to make it work in my life. It's too complicated. Really, I didn't get it. I've heard every conceivable excuse there can be for not coming to the light. Traveling as an evangelist, I heard them by the multiplied thousands in 14 years here now, pastoring in Times Square Church. I'm not ready. Sometime I'll come. I'll know when it's time. Oh, you better believe you'll know when it's time. Probably in a second when your life can be snuffed out. You said there was going to be time and it's snuffed out of you. It's happening every moment, every second that I speak. It's happening all over the world. I have my own religion. You ever heard that? I'm not indulging in any gross sin. I'm not hurting anybody. In fact, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not perfect, but I'm better than most of the people around me. Oh, I've been hurt by Christians. I've been hurt by a church. Oh, I hear that a lot. In fact, I see so many phony Christians. Excuses. Jesus got right to the point. He said to Nicodemus and to those around him, you just don't want to give up your sins. He said, it's that simple. There is no excuse that will stand before the Heavenly Father. He said, you will not come to the light for one reason. Let me read it to you in John 3:20 here. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed, if reproved. Sit here as you will. Think what you will of my preaching or the singing or what you hear now. What the gospel says, what the gospel of Jesus Christ, what Jesus said from his own lips. He said, you will never understand until you're willing to deal with your sins. And if you love your sins, you will never see the light. You will never come to light. In fact, you will hate it because it has a tendency. The light exposes all the dark things that are in your life. This is why I understand now a lot of people don't want to come to this church. Because the light in other churches like ours, where the gospel will be preaching simple and pure and straight, exposing sin. They don't want to come here because they're very comfortable in their sins and they love their sins, Jesus said. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Verse 19, read it, check it out. It's not from me, that's from the heart and lips of Jesus. Jesus is trying to get through to Nicodemus by explaining, first of all, that God loved him and that there's evidence of that God would take his own son, put him on a cross and heap the sins of the whole world on him as evidence of that love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the simple message to Nicodemus and to every sinner that's ever been born, God, first of all, has offered you love. You cannot say that God didn't love you. You can't say that God didn't try to express that love to you. God said he didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. He said, I sent him not to condemn the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save man from their sins, that they could have eternal life. You can't say that Jesus is here this morning to condemn you. He said, I am not going to condemn you. Really, when you're condemned, I'm going to show you condemn yourself. Jesus doesn't condemn you. We condemn ourselves by turning away from the light that he offers. The light exposes every evil deed done in all the darkness. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin hates God. Sin will not endure it. But in his love, he sends the light to expose it that you may see it, the exceeding sinfulness of it, the death of it, the awfulness and ugliness of it in your life and how it destroys you and your family and everything around you. He shows you the destructiveness of it out of an act of love, divine love. God's solution to the sin problem has been the cross of Jesus Christ that you have heard about many, many times. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus, you could go to an isolated island, no TV, no VCRs, no dirty movies, no half-nude or nude women pictures or anything else, nothing to seduce you, nothing but blue sky and green surf. You had plenty to eat, and you had a shelter. And maybe some books to read, some good healthy books, and you could be there for years and not be doing what people think are sinful. You're not indulging here, you're not indulging there, but you're still going to die in your sins. If you don't know Jesus Christ, even though you don't touch anything that is of this world, because the Bible said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The heart of man is abundantly wicked, and who can know it but God? Until your heart is changed, your circumstances can change, and nothing changes as far as your eternal security is concerned. So, just trying to get rid of your sin, or trying not to do what you do, not trying, doing your best, humanly possible, to bite the bullet and say, I'll not do that terrible thing again, that's not going to save you. Your good deeds will not save you. Yes, God is holy, is love, but he's also holy and just. He offered one way out of sin, one solution. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You confess, you believe him, you trust him. He that believe in him is not condemned. But if you love your sin, will not allow the Holy Spirit to show you the death in it, the scripture says you've condemned yourself. And here's what the scripture says. Verse 18. Look at it in John 3. He that believeth in him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Folks, don't worry about, if you're a sinner, don't even think about what it's going to be like when you stand on the judgment day. Don't think about that day when you're going to stand with nobody there to answer for you and your sins are piled high to the heavens. You have no excuse, and everything has been written in the book and you're going to answer for every deed, every thought, every motive. So don't even think about that day, because the Lord says that he believeth not is already condemned. You are already condemned. And that's a very strong word in Greek. It means tried. Already you've been to trial and you have condemned yourself. You are punished and you are damned. The word means damned. He that believeth not is damned already. Is already condemned. He's condemned himself. For years, I've rejoiced in seeing people come to Christ in crusades all over the world and then here at Times Square Church. It's been a wonderful experience. And everyone that comes to Christ, I keep telling you, God's not mad at you. God loves you. God's not angry at you. I've told that to the whole world. But I told that to seekers. I told that to people coming to the light. I told people that were honest enough to admit that they were living in sin that was going to destroy them. I can't honestly tell you, sinner, that if you reject the light of Jesus Christ time and time again, I can't tell you that God isn't mad at you. That's not what the scripture says. Young man stopped me on Broadway this past week. And he was really upset, and he grabbed my arm in both arms. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "I'm worried. I feel terrible." He said, I sit in church and I still have lust in me, and I'm trying so hard, and I love the Lord, but I have a fear. And people tell me if I don't get rid of this right away, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm scared." And I looked at him and I said, "Someone tell you something. Never in the history of the world has God ever cast away a man or a woman seeking Him, no matter what their problem and what their sin was. If there was a heart reaching out and crying out to Him, God will never turn you down. God will never cast you aside, ever." That didn't excuse his sin. He said, "Well, Brother Dave, that makes me feel like I want to go on seeking the Lord for victory." Yes, God loves sinners. He sent His own Son because God so loved the world. But when you reject His Son and the only solution He's offered for sin, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, the Scripture says. You refuse the love and you condemn yourself. He said, "You're already condemned." It's another thing. You see, it's one thing to have a heart that says, I really want to change. I really want Christ in my life. I'm still fighting a battle and I keep losing the battle, but there's something deep in my heart. There's a cry. That's one thing. But it's quite another thing entirely when you turn away from Jesus and you reject the call of love and mercy. You continue in your sins because you love it. The Scripture says the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. And that word comprehends means preferred. Preferred it not. Preferred sin above the light. Totally rejected the light of the gospel. What you're hearing now is not preaching. You're hearing light. Trying to shine into your darkness, to pierce that wall that you've set up so that the Lord can show you how dangerous your condition is, and He does that out of love. This helps me understand also why many people continue in doctrines and cults that they innately know are anti-Scripture. It's been difficult over the years for me to understand how intelligent people can so get involved and so give themselves over to false doctrines of covetousness, where they can continue in their sins, they can commit adultery and fornication and still be elders in the church and all kinds of filth in their lives and go to filthy movies and do the most impossible things and get drunk and use drugs and come to the house of God and have no preaching against it, have no feeling against it. They go to a church because they're comfortable, because if they go to the light, they're going to be exposed. If they go to a church where the light is being preached and the light is piercing from the pulpit, they know that they're going to come under conviction. They know God, the Holy Ghost, is going to put His finger on that sin. I understand now why people prefer these teachers that have they have itching ears, the Scripture says. The Bible said many of these women who meet with them are laden down with their sins. They're laden down with their sins. They love their sins, so they're going to find teachers who will appease it and hide it and cover it. And the reason many people stay in these false doctrines is because they don't want to deal with covetousness. They don't want to have anybody talk about their sins. They want to hide it, and they're comfortable. They're hiding in the house of God. The Holy Ghost loves you so much, He'll not let you hide. He wouldn't let you hide this morning because He loves you. Jesus said they hate the light. They don't want the truth. He that doeth or loveth the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be manifest or exposed that they are right in God. In fact, the Greek word there is opened up to his own eyes. He wants his sins, his evil deeds to be opened up, and he comes to church saying, "Oh God, speak to me today. See if there's been any hidden thing in my life." That's my prayer every day, every waking hour. "Oh God, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked thing in my heart. And every time I have a preacher stand in this pulpit and I sit there and listen to wherever I am and in the face of the earth, I say, God, speak to me. There may be something in my heart that I don't know. Throw the light on. Turn it on. Is that your attitude? You come to the house of God saying, Lord, I want to be purged of all my sin. If there's a sin in my heart that has a hold on me, I want to know from the Scripture how to get rid of it. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to give me the authority over it. He comes to the light. Please turn with me to Isaiah, the 49th chapter, please. Isaiah 49. The 49th chapter of Isaiah, verses 8 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee. This is God speaking. And I will preserve thee and give thee, speaking of his own son, to give thee for a covenant to the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And here's the work of Jesus Christ, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. I'm going to come back to those two words, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Show yourself. He's saying to the prisoners now, show yourselves. He's talking about a people delivered by the power of Jesus Christ from their sins. And it's a call. It's a call first to everybody that's hiding sin. He said, come out in the open. Come out of the closet now. Show yourselves. Because the Redeemer is here. The one who releases prisoners has come. You come to the light now. Come and show yourself. Stand before the word of the Lord. Stand before God. Stand before the light of the Holy Ghost. Come, show yourself, and he'll deliver you. Show yourselves. He's speaking now also to those who are his own children. On the job, wherever it's at, he says, come. You were a prisoner, and I delivered you. I set you free. Now, show yourselves. Come. Show yourselves. Be an open book before the whole world, before your people on the job and everyone else. Come, don't be afraid to show yourself. Show yourself against every demonic power. Stand up and show yourself strong in the name of the Lord, because there's nothing the devil has in you. This wicked one cometh and hath nothing in me. He can't touch me. Show yourself unafraid. Come out. He says, come out. And show yourself. Powerful verse. It's a call to every Christian hiding secret sin. Come forth now. Get into the light. Don't partake of the sins of this world. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking. Let it not even be named among you. Be ye not partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Isaiah prophesied of a darkness coming. Go to chapter 60. A gross darkness is going to cover the earth. Beloved, I believe that we have arrived at this prophecy. This prophecy of Isaiah in the 60th chapter. We are at this very point. Right now, this very month, this very week, this very day and hour. Verse 3 verses. Rise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. A gross darkness coming, and that word gross darkness is deep gloom, despair, confusion. Confusion. Name a better word, a strong, what more What better word could describe what's going on in our country and our nation and the world and the Mideast and all over the world today than confusion, gloom, and despair? A gross darkness, he said, is going to cover the whole earth. I hear people everywhere I go now saying, we've never seen it like this before. What's happening? This is all new. New territory. Things we don't understand. Everything seems to be spinning out of control. Daniel cried these words and see if these don't apply to our time. He said, we have sinned. We've committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled. We've departed from the law of God and from His judgments. We've not listened to His prophets. O Lord, to us belongs confusion now. Confusion of face. Confusion to our kings. Confusion to our princes. Confusion to our fathers. Because we've sinned against the Lord. We have transgressed Thy law. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us because we've sinned against the Lord. Confusion. There's nobody in our government knows what to do about what is happening in our nation now. Is anyone in this building hearing me? Anyone hearing me at the sound of my voice that can deny that this nation's in total confusion? Does anyone in this world, any world leader, know what to do with the problem in Israel right now? You know, Vladimir Putin, the premier or president of Russia, the whole world is laughing right now, calling us a banana republic. That's what Castro called us yesterday. Putin offered to send people to count our votes. Tongue-in-cheek, from France, all over the world. In England, it's the joke of the nation. The strongest nation in the world that's boasted in all of its great technology can't even count its votes. Confusion, gloom, darkness, gross darkness covering the earth, the scripture says. But did you hear that great big word, but? In the midst of gross darkness, when men are in total despair, when men don't know where to turn, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, and they shall come to the light. They shall come to the light. Folks, things are going to get so topsy-turvy in this nation and the world. Things are going to get so confusing, people don't know which way to turn. And there are going to be multitudes turning to the light. I believe, just as Pastor Carter has prophesied, I believe the time, even in this church, in Brooklyn Tabernacle, in every church here in New York that's preaching the gospel, we live here where Wall Street is. We live here where the great harlot city, modern Babylon, modern Sodom. We live in this city with the United Nations and everything. And one day, when men are so confused that they know the hand of God is at work, many in their confusion, the prophet Isaiah prophesies, will come to the light. They'll come to the brightness of the Lord, and even the kings to the brightness of the rising sun. That's a prophecy. Tragically, great numbers are going to prefer darkness. You know that. Listen to what John the Baptist said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We read it. It was my text. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And what John is saying, if you reject the light finally, and you say, I want nothing to do with the light, he said, you're going to face God who will come at you with a violent passion. You're going to face His anger, His indignation, His vengeance, and His punishments. The wrath abideth on him. In other words, there's not a moment of the day, not a moment of the night that he is not living under the wrath of God. The anger. It is the anger of God. Folks, We have very few churches even mention the anger or the wrath of God. We have stripped God of everything but His love. Very few preachers. In fact, there are some preachers and even some denominations now that say there is no wrath in God. Well, they don't know their Bibles. Let me read you just a few things. For the wrath of God is revealed. Now, not Old Testament, but New Testament. Romans 1:8. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 2:8. He speaks of those who obey not the truth, but obey righteousness. There will be indignation and wrath. Yes, God is slow to wrath, but when the light of Christ is fully rejected, He said, I'll smoke against you in my wrath.
This is the end of side one. You may now turn the tape over to side two.
3:6, Paul lists all the evils of darkness, and then he says, for which things sake the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. Now, what does it mean to live under the wrath of God? I have to say it as lovingly, and I'm going to try not to raise my voice lest you think I'm angry. Pray for me, it's difficult not to lift my voice. What does it mean to live under the wrath of God? Isaiah warned what happens to those who are under the wrath of God and this darkness sets in. He said, you will come, there will be a trembling heart, failing of eyes, sorrow in your mind. In the morning you're going to say, would to God it were evening. In the evening you will say, would to God it were morning. For the fear of your heart, wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes and the things that you shall see. He said, you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to have a cloud hanging over you and say, God, if I could only make it through this day. And then at night, you try to sleep and you just hope and pray for the morning. He said, that's the way is. And folks, that's where multitudes in this world are right now without Christ. They go to sleep with pills. They wake up with energizers and they do everything to try to calm this. But you see, they are living under the wrath of God because there's no Holy Ghost in them to resist sin. So the devil comes in and takes total dominion and become absolutely harassed and directed by demonic powers. That is living under the wrath of God. Living under the wrath of God, never having a moment truly of peace except the false peace that I'm going to talk to you about now. Because you see, it leads to hardening of heart. And when you harden your heart, there's a total judicial blindness so that you just can't see. Because God has, the Bible talks about turning people over to their sins, turning people over to a reprobate mind so that they believe a lie to be the truth. They call white black and black white. They call light dark and dark light. He said, everything is turned upside down. You see through perverted eyes because you see through this sin pattern now that's so possessed and ruled your life. There is no depth. Now, deception is added to deception. Sin is added to sin, the Scripture says. For those, I've seen those that are totally given to homosexuality. The majority become alcoholics eventually. Or they drink to quiet down that conscience that screams. Those that are in adultery, they add lying spirit to that because they have to protect their backside. They're looking everywhere and they're having to lie to protect themselves because sin is being added to sin until finally there's no end to your depravity. You're on a slide racing to hell and there's no end to what you will do. The Scripture says even murder, hatred, bitterness, rebellion, and all of these things, sin added to sin. In Deuteronomy 29:19, don't turn there, but here's what finally happens. This is the end result. It will come to pass, and I'm reading from Deuteronomy 29:19, when he hears the words of this curse. In other words, you've heard what God said already. You hear the words of God's curse, living under the wrath of God. He said very clearly, the wrath of God abides on him who believes not the Son. Will not come to the light. Jesus said, and John the Baptist said, the wrath of God abides on you. It lives on you. It's there. It's a part of your life, and you can't shake it. You're living under that. I don't care how you feel in the morning, because you can concoct a false peace that puts you to the very gate of hell, where you could actually, if you, putting it literally so that you could see the sparks and smell the smoke, at the very gate of hell, and think you were at the gate of heaven. Here's the scripture. I will, it will come to pass when he hears the words of this curse that he will bless himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart, and I add to add drunkenness to thirst. In other words, in the Hebrew, to add drunkenness to thirst is said, and to be grateful for those who are in this with me. Add drunkenness to thirst. He said, I've got this thirst, but there are those around drunken, and I will not just taste the wine. I'll go with those who are drunk, and I'll give myself over to it. And when I'm in the midst of my sin, no matter how depraved I may be, I can say, I have peace. All is well between me and God. I'm raising my voice. You see, I've asked God to let me say these things in his great love and mercy. You better believe God will lecture you if you're living in sin. You better believe he'll come and warn you. You better believe it because he loves you. Here's a man who knows he's living in gross sin. Now he can sit under any kind of preaching. He can hear warnings, but he's so blinded, so hardened by a sin, he literally congratulates himself. I'm not like anybody else. I'm pretty good. A false peace with a hard heart. Never again to feel conviction. You know what God's reply was? I'll not spare you. This is the very next verse. I'll not spare you. My anger and jealousy shall smoke against you, and all the curses written in the book shall lie upon you, and the Lord shall blot out your name from under heaven. Awesome words. A few years ago, I'm going to close shortly, but a few years ago, I went to the gay march, 500,000 gays up Fifth Avenue. I just wanted to see what was happening. I went with love in my heart. You see, we say it, and it sounds like a cliche, but it's not a cliche. We love gays. We hate their sin. There's no other way to put it. But I watched, and I saw things I'd never seen in my life. I heard cursing like I'd never heard, and I saw hardness. There was a spirit let loose on Fifth Avenue that I'd never seen in my life, traveling all over the world. And there were a little group, I suppose them to be Christians, they had signs, just three or four signs, a beautiful small group of young people said, God loves gays, but he hates your sin. That's all it said. And I saw a group jump off of one of the floats and others that were dressed in leather, half nude, and with belts and buckles, and I saw them come in anger and rip the signs and start pushing the people. And these young people were saying, hey, look, we're not mad at you. We love you. We love Christ. We're just here to tell you God hates your sin, and we're here. We're not angry at you. We love you. And they wouldn't listen. There was a heart, absolute heart, nothing to do with it. There was no way, nothing. If an angel came down, if Christ himself stood there, they would have mocked and pushed him, tried to crucify him. How hard can a sinner become? Revelation 16:1, I read of a time when God said he's going to command his angels to go their ways and pour out the vials of his wrath upon the whole earth. And one of those vials is a scorching of the earth, a violent heat. The Bible said men will be scorched with great heat. And here's a time when the whole world is going to know that God is in control of the weather patterns. And the weather patterns are so drastically changed now. It's not just, 10 degrees heat. No, the Bible said that the earth is going to be scorched with heat. And everybody knows that God is doing it now because they cry from the rocks and the mountains to hide it from Him. They're acknowledging it's from Him. Is there a revival? Is there repentance? And they repented not to give Him glory. They gnawed their tongues with pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and repented not of their deeds. That's how hard you can get. Now I'm going to close with this. Here's the worst part of all. Living under the wrath of God ends up with these awful words of Christ. You shall die in your sins. Jesus said, I go my way, and you'll seek for me, but you will die in your sins. Because where I go, you can't come. He repeated again in verse 24 of chapter 8 of Matthew, you're of this world, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. The Bible said it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after that the judgment. No matter what you believe, that is Scripture. You're going to die, and then you go to judgment. This past week, these words, you will die in your sins, it haunted me. I'm trying to conceive what it would be like, as I close, what it would be like, and I'm not going to get theatric on you. What's it going to be like? Let those words sink in, to die in your sins. Every sin you've committed, every lie you've told, every evil deed you've ever done and every evil motive. All recorded, the Bible says. And to stand before God when you have no attorney, no Holy Ghost, you have no friend, no loved one, no one to excuse you, nothing to stand on. And you are face to face with the judge, who at this time is your judge. He's not your judge now, He's your friend, but He's your judge then. And how do you answer to all your sins? How do you answer God? What do you do on that day? We all go there. You know, I've seen some of the worst sinners living in the grossest of sins. I'll go to the hospital. Some of them are dying of AIDS. Explain the gospel and have them look me in the eye and say, leave me alone. I say, pal, the doctor tells me within an hour you're going to be an eternity and you're going to face God and all your sins are piled up against you. Leave me alone. How does a man say that? How does a person come to that point? By sitting in churches like this and hearing the gospel. Better you were born in China where you never heard the gospel than be born in America where you could get it on radio and television and every kind of venue possible. You've heard it and heard it and heard it, and now you've rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. Now your heart grows hard so that even now, with a loving message, I'm moved. If I were a sinner and I said in this message and I was not somewhere deep in my heart moved toward Christ, if I didn't see a little speck of light somewhere and say, I'm going to run toward that light, even the smallest speck of light, what's it going to be like to die in your sin? Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They won't listen to me, he says. They cover their sins with a covering, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to their sin. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to go to hell. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want to speak in closing to the husbands first. Some of you husbands have been coming with your wives to this church for many weeks and maybe months. Or maybe for the first time. But you've heard it other places. I want to talk to husbands first. I saw husbands at the banquet last night, and I know their wives are praying for them. And those husbands sat there and they listened again to a clear gospel. And I knew in my heart that they sat there just totally unmoved. And you sit here this morning unmoved. God help you. God have mercy on you. To live under His wrath and then having to die in all of your sins. This is your day. This is your call. As clear as you're ever going to get it on the face of this earth. You may get other calls, but you're not going to get it as clear as this. You will not get it as anointed by the Holy Ghost as you're getting it right now. You will never again hear the call into the intensity of the Holy Spirit and the love of God wrapped in it as you are hearing it now. Procrastinators who say, some other time, this is the time. The Holy Spirit says, this is the day of salvation. Today, right now, backslider, you that have known Him and walked away, turn back. We have a young man that just walked out of his church. He was working here in the church, in fact, and God saved him from a horrible life of sin, and now he's back pushing drugs, and the police are after him, and he's living in misery and in shame. Come back to the light. The mercy of God will deliver you, that you no longer live under His wrath. And the sad thing is that in the annex stairs and all over this church, there's no way on earth. I know my heart, my walk with God, and I know how He speaks to me and through me. I know how He deals with me. He's made me a pastor, but I'm an evangelist this morning. And I know God laid this on my heart because He knew you were here. He knew you'd be here listening. And those that hear, see it on tape, on video or audio, God puts that in front of your face, in front of your ears, at the right time, at the right place, because saying, now is the peak moment. Now, there'll never be a moment like this again. Come to the light. Will you stand? My God, have mercy this morning. My God, open heart. Holy Spirit, go through this place and open every heart that's been closed. Open every heart that's been closed. Holy Spirit, I plead with you. I intercede with you. I beg you. Holy Spirit, don't let anybody harden their heart under this preaching this morning. Let no one walk out of this door, Lord, that's turned their back on you or drifted away from you, who have never fully received you as Lord and Savior. My Lord, come in your great compassion and mercy and love this morning. One more time. Give them one more chance. One more chance, Lord, in this loving atmosphere, this moment now. Holy Spirit, you have to draw them. I can't. Lord, I'm not going to try to scare people because that won't last. That doesn't work a miracle. The only thing that works the miracle is the grace of God wooing and calling through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for what you're about to do. In this building, we're going to just sing a chorus. It's not to create a mood, but it's to give you time. There's a great heaviness in my heart because I know I'm preaching to some of you for the last time. And that's a heavy burden. Some of you are going to go into eternity, and I stand on the judgment day there as a witness. I'm not going to judge you, but I'll be a silent witness that you heard. You won't see me point a finger and say, Jesus, they were in Times Square Church. I remember the time. I remember what I preached. No, if we are able to weep over sinners at that time, I'll weep over you. But just my being there, every word will come back to you as a witness against the hardness of your heart. If you feel the Holy Spirit tug on your heart, I want you to get out of your seat in the balcony, go down the sides, either side, come down the aisle here in a minute. Just step up here. I'm going to pray for a miracle in your life. Those in the annex, I'm going to ask you to do something different today. I'm going to ask you to go back into the lobby. Ushers, show them how to get into this building. And I want you to come here to the main auditorium and stand in front of me so I can pray for you. Just make your way. Just turn around. Go right back to the back. Get in the hall. Ushers, I want three or four ushers there. Show them the way. And in the hallways out here, usher, show the people from the annexes how to get down to this front. Step out of your seat and come as the Holy Spirit tells you. Don't move unless the Spirit moves you. Don't, unless there's conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if you want to just take a move by faith, just step out and say, God, this is for me. Come and join me here now. Wife, if you're here and your husband or wife is not right with God, why don't you just take your mate by the hand and squeeze it and whisper to one that, do you want me to go with you? Let's go. And we're going to sing it maybe two or three times to give people time that are coming down now from the annex. That's it. Come together or come alone, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit's doing a deep work here. Deep work of His Spirit right now, changing lives. Even as you walk down the aisle, He's changing you. Sing it again, give us time. Wherever you're at, don't reject the call of the Holy Spirit. We'll not prolong this, we'll not beg you. But don't reject the Holy Ghost, please. You are my come while I'm talking. You know, in the Bible talks about a man that came to Nathanael. Philip came to Nathanael and he said, come to Jesus. We've met Christ. Come and meet the Christ. And Jesus answered him and said, behold, Philip calleth thee. Before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael comes up to him. Jesus says, I saw you way back there under the fig tree. There's no way you can know it. And Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Jesus said and answered, because I said to thee, I saw you under the fig tree, believe you that you'll see greater things. You're going to see heaven open, angels of God ascending and descending. You know what the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart when you were coming down the aisle? I want you to believe that Jesus saw you, not under a fig tree, but He saw you sitting here at Times Square Church. He saw you this morning. He saw your need. He prepared a message. And you came to Jesus just like Nathanael. You came to Him. And I want you to believe in this miracle that the Lord arranged this whole thing right now. For everyone that's here, He's arranged it. He said, if you'll believe that, if you'll believe that I spoke to you today, if you believe that my word has come to you and you receive it now and confess and believe this, I'll show you greater things. I'll open up the scripture. I'll open heaven to you. You won't be living in darkness. I'm going to open heaven. You're going to see. When you open heaven, what do you see? Light. Ever-increasing light until it becomes brilliant. God's going to do that for you this morning. Good to see so many couples come this morning. And may the Lord, you didn't come here to join this church. We don't have a membership. The thing that holds people to this church is the power of the Holy Ghost, the unity of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't do what I know the Lord wants to do. In moments like this, you feel so helpless and you don't have words. And I don't feel like I can put many words in your mouth because it has to come deep and out of your heart. You wouldn't be here unless the Holy Spirit moved you. Let Him take you through now. He brought you to the door. Let Him walk you right through. But you have to open up your heart right now. Would you just open up your heart to Him? Just open up your heart right now and pray this prayer from deep inside your heart. Jesus, thank you for caring about me and loving me enough to shine the light in my heart. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for convicting me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I come to the cross. I come to the blood to be cleansed and transformed. The power of sin broken in my life. Jesus, I'm coming to your light. Remove the darkness. I've been in darkness too long. I want to see the light. I believe you called me. And here I stand. I answer your call. I receive you as Lord. I receive you as Savior. I give you all my heart. I surrender my sins. Oh God. Make this real. Not just my emotions, but my heart and my life. Take it, Jesus. I surrender to you. Now, will you believe that in your heart? Will you just, in your own words, look up to heaven and thank Him right now? Jesus, thank you for taking my sins. You said, if I confess, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, we give you thanks for this. We give you praise. What room upstairs? Listen, I'd like all of the counselors that we have counselors and who else? All the counselors, go to room 206 quickly, please, before others come. In the annex, the counselors in the annex here in the man of the term, would you please make your way through the crowd and get up there first? Would you do that, if you will, please? We'd appreciate it. Up there first. Look this way, please. I want everybody that came forward this morning, listen closely, please. I want everybody that came forward this morning to give your heart to Christ, or you'd run from Christ and you're returning. I'd like you to go to room 206. Go back. If you were in the annex, go back up there, just room 206. We have people waiting to pray with you, to minister to you, to take you by the hand and just help you to make sure that you walk through that door and that nothing is taken by chance, that you are going to go through with this, that you just didn't come here for a moment of emotion, but you said, I mean business today. If you mean business, I want you to turn right now and go. And even those that were in this auditorium, go upstairs. Follow the crowd, please. Ushers back there, make sure you let people know how to get up the stairs. Turn right around. Make your way right through the crowd right now. Everybody that's coming back to Jesus, or those who have given their heart to Jesus for the first time, husbands and wives that are coming to Christ, we want to make sure. We don't want your name and address. We just want to make sure that when you leave here, you know where you stand with Christ.
This is the conclusion of the message.